Thank you, John, and giving us God's word and coming to that point where I can just say a few things before we take our leave for a short period and look to God, as John's already prayed, to encourage us and guide us and lead us in our own walk with the Lord. And so, recognizing with the fact we've had a dedication, we're going to have baptisms, I've gone to this passage of Scripture and simply entitled it, Getting to the Top. Now, I remember some years ago, I was in the old MFI shop in Christchurch. Any of you remember MFI? And I saw a lovely sign there that said, the person who took the stepladder, please bring it back before further steps are taken. Now, I don't know if that ladder got returned or not, or how many other ladders went missing in the process, but I do know that there are ladders that people dream of getting on and climbing up with the straightforward goal of getting to the top. Young people, perhaps, who want to get to the top of the property ladder. Ambitious people who want to climb up the ladder of success. Hopefully, rung by rung, not wrong by wrong, as often is the case. Social climbers who want to move up the ladder of greater acceptance. Hard workers who dream of ascending the ladder to better their own career. All are dreaming of getting to the top and hoping that in getting there, they don't discover it's leaning against the wrong wall. Now, I know that we're told never to trust ladders, for they're always up to something. I understand that, but the ladder this morning that this one man, Jacob, dreamt about is one that we can all step on without having to step on or over anybody else and get to the very top of all that God wants us to reach in terms of our living and our life and our serving of Him. A ladder that stretches from the top to the bottom, from the first to the last, from here to eternity, and will always deliver on what it promises. For when we dream in the Lord, He goes beyond our wildest dreams and begins to give us what we could not even have dared to hope for. Amen. That is the message I want to leave with you. Getting to the top. That's my prayer for my life. It's prayer for your life. Getting to the place, if you prefer, where more and more God outranks our goals. Where more and more our faith outweighs our feelings. Where our hope outshines our hurts, and where our fruit outgrows our failures. Getting to the top for young David as he grows to hear about the Lord. Getting to the top for Flavio and Marinella as they obey the Lord by going through the waters of baptism. Getting to the top for our friends in the Ukraine as they plant more churches and see more people come to faith in the Lord. And getting to the top here as a fellowship of God's people at Shirley, who embrace whole life discipleship, so that by being faithful in our fellowshipping together, we can be fruitful no matter where we go and what we do in our living for the Lord when we're apart. Getting to the top. I don't want this to be a church. I don't want mine to be a life that simply settles for life at the bottom. I believe God wants to get us on the ladder of His salvation, on the ladder of His joy, and take us right the way to the top, where He, as we read in our passage, is standing, watching, and waiting. Getting to the top. It's a great goal. Not in terms of how well known we are, or how well off we are, or how well liked we are, or even how well up together we may feel or not feel we are. But getting to the top, getting to the place where no matter that anybody else is not going God's way, I am. Getting to the place that no matter that others walk out from God, I'm committed in my life to walk on with God. Getting to the top, that even if it costs us our popularity, position, perhaps even our lives, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I counted all loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, my Lord and Savior. That's my heart for you as a fellowship. That as you support and encourage Paul and the leadership team, that ambition to get to the top and to reach for everything that God wants you in faith to reach for and reflect the dream that he puts in our own hearts. You know, I was hearing about one man who had a dream, and he told his girlfriend that he dreamt about her last night. And she said, well, did you dream about me? Well, what did you dream then? And the man said, well, I dreamt that I proposed to you, but I'm not quite sure what that means. And the girlfriend said, well, I know what it means. It simply means that you've got more sense when you're asleep than when you're awake. Well, folks, Jacob had more sense when he was asleep than he did when he was awake, because in his dream of a ladder, he found that he could climb to a place that he could never, ever have climbed to but for it. Isn't that the very point of a ladder? For us to reach a place that we couldn't get to without it? Isn't that why we get a ladder? You know, if we can reach it, we don't need a ladder, do we? But we can't reach to where God wants us to be. We can't reach to what God wants us to do without the ladder that he himself provides. And we get on it and trust him with it. So very quickly, and here we go as we come to our baptisms. Let me just underline three simple thoughts. And they are quick and they are simple. And there's a lot that I can't mention, but enough for us, I hope, to get on the ladder this morning. If you're going to dream the dream that God wants to give you, if you're going to reach for the top and get to the top, then you've got to understand that it's not going to happen if, like Jacob, found himself in this place at this time. You actually reflect a life that is away from the Lord. Jacob was a man who lived up to his name. We've been praying for little David that he'll live up to his name. Beloved of God. And we pray for that. Jacob lived up to his name. Jacob means deceiver. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word for heart is Jacob. Because we can't trust our heart. It deceives us. He is the prodigal son of the Old Testament. A man so driven to succeed, to get to the top, that if he's got to cheat and lie and steal even his own brother's birthright to get there, he's going to do it. So needless to say, such ungodly behavior has him running for his life, and he finds himself where every life away from God finds itself, at a distance from God. That's why he needed the ladder. I know the NIV calls it a stairway. It doesn't really matter. Either way, here is a man in Jacob that is away from the Lord. And when you're distant from God, what do you discover? You discover that you're in the dark. We're told when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night. Why? Because the sun had set. And folks, it's worth coming just to hear this morning. When the sun sets, you're in the dark. Now, I know that comes as news, doesn't it? It's worth coming, but it's true. When you're away from the Lord, either because you've never come to true faith in the Lord, or you're living in disobedience to the Lord, your ability to see what it is he wants you to see, your ability to be where it is he wants you to be and to do what it is he wants you to do is going to be impaired. And I wonder this morning, is our life in the dark when we're told to walk in the light, because the sun has set on our joy, the sun has set on our hopes, the sun has set on our marriage, the sun has set on our desire to worship the Lord and witness to the Lord, because we're not deceiving our own heart, we're away from the Lord. And if you're distant from the Lord, it's not just that you're in the dark, you're in the dry, aren't you? Do you notice what Jacob used for a pillow? He used a stone. As he was in the desert. He found what he could. I mean, you'd have to be pretty sleepy, wouldn't you, to rest your head on a pillow. But that was the best that he could find in this barren place. It was a dry place. Because by trying to get to the top his own way, Jacob ends up at the very bottom with nothing. Now, folks, I'm not here to crush anyone's dreams. I'm not here to limit your endeavors or even to spoil your fun. But if it's true meaning that you're looking for, if it's lasting life that you're longing for, if it's real satisfaction that you crave, then outside of God, away from him, you're going to be in the dark and you're going to be in the dry, and also it's going to be dangerous. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Why? Because his brother, who he'd stolen the birthright from, was out looking to kill him. Don't take my word for it. We're told in the previous chapter, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, I will kill my brother Jacob. So I'm not making it up. There it is. And I tell you, when you're distant from God, it's a dangerous place to be in when you know that someone is out to get you. Bad enough when it's your enemy. But when it's a member of your own family, doesn't it hurt more? I expect to be criticized and put down in the world, don't you? But among fellow believers, there's got to be that encouragement and that lift. This is what brought Jesus to tears on Palm Sunday when he went down into Jerusalem. He knew the Roman enemies would be the one that crucified him there. But what really hurt was to look across a city among his own people and know that they would be the ones shouting, crucify him there. Doesn't that hurt most when it's somebody you love, a member of the family that puts you down? Maybe there's someone here this morning who's running from an Esau in their own life, a person that threatens you, your confidence, your ability, your encouragement. Maybe there's a passion that troubles you. There's a temptation you can't get past and over. Or there's a problem that terrifies you. You're measuring your problem before you measure the God who is beyond that problem. Or there's a past that torments you because there's no forgiveness in your life. I don't know. Then I want you to be encouraged. We got a God who's not here out to get us. We've got a God who, even when he finds us, as he found Jacob here, at the very bottom of our own sinfulness, stupidity, and ability to survive, he's right there, ready to meet with us. To turn our darkness into light. To bring us refreshment in a dry and thirsty land. To defend us against the dangers we face and the punishment we so richly deserve. There is a ladder that's going to be presented to Jacob that he can be delivered by. And that ladder was not just for him. It is for all that who are away from God in their life. Because God has that beautiful knack, as he did here for Jacob, not only to see a life that's away from him, but in seeing that life that's away from him, to actually bring to that life an arousal, to awaken him, to give him an opportunity to get onto the ladder so that he can reach for the top of God's richest blessing for him. That's what we're told here. Jacob had a dream in which he saw a ladder resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. What a contrast to the Tower of Babel, when in the collective wisdom and ability of man who tried to build a tower to get to God that miserably failed, God now delivers from the top down, from heaven to earth, a ladder by which we can get to him. And he's going to arouse us to the truth of that. He's going to awaken us to the truth of that. Because sometimes that's what it takes, isn't it? How did he do it in the life of Jacob? He gave him a dream and then he put his own voice to the reality of that dream. It's not just enough to have a dream from God. You've got to have a word from God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. I know people will say to me, well, if God gave me a dream like he gave Jacob a dream, I'd be the first one to commit my life to the Lord. Well, you got better than a dream. You got the whole canon of the word of God. What more do we need to know that even when we're away from the Lord, he's never far from us? The very sin that puts us in the situation that we're in, the very trouble that we fret over, the very problem that seems to loom large over our life, may be the very means of God getting us to the place where we know our need of Him and He can begin to meet our need of Him. We may be far from Him, but He's never, ever far from us. Don't you find that encouraging? I honestly do. Are you on that ladder? Do you know that the Son of God is that ladder? That Jacob's ladder is Jesus? Did you know that? Because Jesus himself, when he calls a man called Nathanael in the Old Testament, gives him the same picture. And he tells Nathanael that the same vision that Jacob once received from God is the vision that I'm giving to you, and the angels going up and down it are going up and down me, because I am the ladder to heaven. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No one, not me, not you, not the good, not the bad, not them, not us, no one can come to the Father, can reach to the top of all that God wants them to be, of all that God wants them to discover, outside of Jesus Christ. And He needs to awaken us to that. And maybe He will use a dream, or maybe He will use a song, or maybe He will use a sermon, or maybe He will use a testimony, or maybe He will use somebody going through the waters of baptism. God will choose the means, but ultimately, along with whatever He chooses, you've got to hear His word and put your faith in the one alone whom to know is life eternal. Have you acknowledged your failings? Jacob got to that point. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. It's a simple statement, but isn't it beautiful? People sit in churches for years thinking that, don't they? Surely the Lord was in this place, but I wasn't aware of it. I sat in church for years. I didn't know God was in it, did you? I just thought, I've got to get through it. When's He going to shut up? When am I going to get home? How am I going to get out of here? People go through problems and pains and persecution thinking, how can God be for me when all this is against me? How can God be here when all this is going on? In fact, for some people, they can't see to God beyond that question. But Jacob, awoken by God, aroused by God through that dream that God put His own voice to, realizes, what an idiot I've been. God's been here all along. And I didn't recognize it until now. And then he expresses his faith, doesn't he? Beautiful, he says. You know, he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. You know what Luz means? It means separation. That's where he was. Before God met with him there, he was in Luz. He was separated from God. Now he renames it Bethel, the house of God. He's in communion with God. He's in fellowship with God because he's been converted by God. And he's ready for all the Lord wants to bring to him. Now he can get to the top. Now he's at home with God. This is what Bethel is. Now he's on top with God. Now he's in love with God. I know we need a hug once in a while and someone to listen to us and cry with us. But there's no greater friend, no more loving a companion than the God who met with Jacob here. Are you on the ladder? Do you own your own failings? And have you put your own faith in what's been provided for you? Then, as we come to the baptism, and the reality is that, by the way, I put that up because when you come to faith in Christ, you get a different look at yourself. As I'm going bored, I'm greatly encouraged by that. You know? Sometimes we need to see ourselves from a different perspective. May God bless us with that. But when it happens, the reality is that people like Flavio and Marinella, and many here who've got on that ladder, and they're going to display it in a moment What happens to them? They find that they've got a life alive in the Lord. A life that was away from the Lord, but a life that's been aroused by the Lord, suddenly now, through faith in the Lord, becomes alive in Him. It's the Christian message. It's beautiful, isn't it? What a difference it makes. And the evidence for Jacob here, as you see it, was what? Very simply, Jacob made a vow, dedicates himself, and says, "The Lord will be my God." And basically, in a moment, when they go through the waters of baptism, that's what they're doing. They're making a vow. They're dedicating themselves afresh to the Lord. They're saying, "The Lord is my God." And it begins with a step of obedience through baptism so that I can follow on. And the ladder that I'm now on, I'm going to climb to the top with God's help, God's encouragement, and the power of the risen Jesus and the energy and life of His Holy Spirit. There's nothing that I can be that I need not be when the Lord is with me for it. Folks, I want you to get to the top. Some of you need to get to the top of what it means to be the husband that God wants you to be. Some of you need to get to the top and be the wife that God wants you to be. Some of you young people need to be the children that God wants you to be. We all need to be the people of God that God wants us to be, so we can be the church in this community that God wants us to be. Get to the top. Come to Jesus. He's the ladder. And when the Son of Man came to the sons of earth, He made it possible for the sons of earth and the daughters to become sons and daughters of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, for Your word, thank You. Write it on our hearts so we can make our vow this morning and to say like Jacob, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." Some of us, Lord, we think that we've hit rock bottom and we're down and we're out and there's nowhere that we can go. But Lord, help us to know that for Jacob, it took hitting rock bottom for him to get on the ladder to reach the top. And Lord, though You didn't cause us to be in the mess that we're in or away from You the way that we are, You can use it to get us on track, to get us up, and to reach for all that Jesus died and rose again to bring to us as we put our faith and trust in Him. So Lord, You know those that are on the ladder. You know those that are not yet on the ladder. May nobody leave here this morning, Lord, without knowing that they need to get on it by trusting themselves to You, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.